Welcome to the Value Script, the podcast where we bring value every episode for the everyday person. Today, we have a very special guest, and I have somebody that we've wanted to have on this podcast for a very long time. Sophia Martinez from Screws and Sparkles in downtown Buckeye, Arizona. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're super so excited
to be here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So excited.
All right, Sophia. So I'm super interested in asking you a question that might be deep, but I feel like I was told, or I think I know a little bit about why you do what you do, but I would like to know, I felt like you at some point said you're on a mission from God and that inspired you to create this business.
Yeah, 100%. It could seem a little complex, but actually it's very simple, right? As a believer, we understand that we are on a mission for the Lord in whatever capacity that he's given us. Like, my capacity is not your capacity or his capacity. And my capacity is mine. My anointing is mine. And some people are anointed for the marketplace. Some people have that anointing to go into the cities, into business, and say, this is more than entrepreneurship. This is kingdom business. And what does that look like? That means that when we have our team meetings, we leave a seat for the Lord. We pray before our meetings. We lead knowing that without the Lord, we can't even, we're only operating on our own strength. And so that's exactly what it is. You know, some people are anointed to be evangelists, or some people are anointed to, you know, whatever. But when you know your purpose and you know what you're called to do, then you just like hit the ground running, even if you don't know all the answers to that.
So the other day we were talking and you were talking about conducting your business. But speaking of profits, it wasn't necessarily what money comes in. It was more, how can you use your platform as a way to help others and help them find their way with God?
Yeah.
Right.
And everybody's journey with the Lord is their journey. Even for me, born and raised in church, my mom was pregnant. She was 16 with me. And I was born and raised into the church, but I had to find God in my own way. It didn't matter if, you know, I was that little kid under the church pew, and we didn't even have pews. Actually, we had chairs, and I was under there coloring, listening to the pastor. And that's how I was raised. But it wasn't anything the pastor said or my mom said to me about the Lord. It was me being that teenager running from the call of God. And then one day just standing at the altar and saying, I'm just so angry. And God, if you're real, I don't know if you're real. Like, I know I've been here for this amount of years, but I know what people say about you, but where are you at for real? And I remember I walked up to the altar and I stood there so angry. I remembered the level of anger that I had. And I stood there and I said, if anybody touches me, it's about to go down. Like, I don't want nobody laying hands on me, nobody praying for me. And I just stood there with the angry heart. And when I tell you, the Lord just hit me like a wrecking ball, just boom, just knocked me over. And I felt like a hug on the inside out. That's the way that I could describe it. And he held my heart. And I remember opening my eyes like, okay, nobody from this point on can tell me that God isn't real, because I just had an experience with him. And over the course of my life, you know, just being in youth leadership or being in ministry or being, you know, in children's church or being an entrepreneur, because like I was telling you, if you are an entrepreneur, you've always been an entrepreneur. I was in kindergarten, like, girls, like, we meeting up at the playground, like, this is the plan, you know,
right.
Or like selling candy in the school. You know what I mean? I remember my husband, he had a screen printing business and he had it in his garage. And so he would give me shirts and I would take them to school, but I would cut them up, put like little beads on them. And then people would say, hey, where'd you get them? I made it. Can I get one? Yeah, for $12. You can. You know what I mean? So if you're an entrepreneur, you've always been that. You've always seen holes in ways to make money. And you're like, wait, I could do something about that. So then you add that with the anointing from the Lord. We see business a little bit differently than other people.
I never thought about that, because as a kid, do you remember 3D Doritos?
Mm-hmm.
I would sell those for a quarter, like one chip for a quarter.
Yeah.
And people would buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I took, and
kids are hungry. They're hungry.
Kids are hungry. That's usually their milk.
Either you got rich friends or very hungry friends.
No, every kid has a quarter for the milk carton. but nobody ever liked the milk, so they never spent it. So I, but I told a kid that every day he forgot, I would charge him a dollar because he didn't have a quarter. He forgot for 20 days, and I was like, "You owe me $20," and I got it. But then my mom found out and made me give it back.
So we told you the other day, and I just want to share the story. But our daughter one day had a ton of cash, like an inordinate amount of cash under her bed. And we're like, okay, first of all, what in the world is going on?
What are you doing,
like, girl? Why is all this cash right here? Like, and then how did you get it?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, when I was in middle school, I used to cut girls' hair.
Wow.
Apparently, she cut a lot of people's hair.
Really?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it makes me so frustrated that, you know, schools have one way of doing things. But when you see that little kid putting the one Dorito in the chip and he's like, I can make $20 off of this $1.99, right? Mm-hmm. That needs to be cultivated.
Why not foster that?
Yeah.
Why squash it in the name of disobedience?
Like, right? Yes, you have to have rules and boundaries. Mm-hmm. But what if there was like a leader in place or a teacher in place that said, hey, I noticed what you were doing. Let's do it this way. I believe in, why can't we just build them a little stand in the cafeteria? Why can't we just, why can't they still, maybe they can't keep the money for themselves, but maybe that can go to the library. Like, give them a mission behind it where they can still use their creative skills and entrepreneurial mindset to say, hey, we want to raise $200 for the library. Sophia, get to work. Because if somebody did that for me, I'll be out there with flyers, with the stand, with books. Like, you want to read this? Well, you can get a preview. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
And then how much more happier would those kids be, too?
Well, they would learn how to thrive at such a young age.
Yeah.
You know, and they would make those business mistakes at a young age and then learn it for when they get older and can really, you know, apply their skills that they've learned all along. That's kind of partly why we started homeschooling, just being frustrated with the educational system and just feeling like we can do so much better for our kids.
Absolutely. You
know? Yeah, but I don't know.
I also got suspended for 5 days, though, for running a gambling March Madness bracket.
Hilarious. How old are you?
15.
Yeah.
Well, he told me not to, but then I did it.
This is what you do now, right?
Yeah.
Is this your own business?
Yeah.
Period. See?
Yeah.
This is what we do. And we as a community have to do better to foster that because we can't rely on the school system or one area. What do we do as a community? You know, it's important.
And the other thing too is like, what if the kid's born in the wrong family? Like, what if somebody's trying to make their way, but they don't have the best setup?
True.
Exactly.
How else are they going to escape?
Exactly.
Like, unless we come help.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And that's what, when we moved to downtown Buckeye from the Bay Area, and I was like, okay, I have my three kids with me. One was 5, one was 7, and one was 9, I think. I'm like, what is there to even do in this town?
So that, you know? That is like my biggest burning question. Like, why do you go from Sacramento, California
to Buckeye?
Well, we're from the East Bay.
Oh, okay.
We were going to move to Sacramento.
Okay.
I was born in Woodland.
You're born in Oakland?
Woodland.
Woodland.
Yeah.
I was born in San Leandro.
Okay.
So East
and
Bay.
Davis.
Yeah.
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 But still, why here?
Yeah, what brought you here?
So in the Bay Area, it's very expensive. If people haven't been there, a lot of families co-live. So a lot of the kids live with the parents. And even there's a lot of restructuring of homes, too, because these are $1 million houses that are itty bitty. Right.
So you have multi-generational families living in the same home.
Uh-huh. So we lived with my in-laws. And so one day my in-laws were like, hey, we're retiring to Buckeye, Arizona. You guys should come with us. And I'm like, let me Google Buckeye, Arizona.
Is there any reason why they chose here?
My father-in-law's sister is here in Buckeye.
Mm. Okay.
And I looked it up and I said, ain't no way.
Right.
Ain't no way.
Right.
I mean, like, I got Tahoe, Santa Cruz, you know, San Francisco. Mm-mm, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But because I am a woman of God, no matter what I feel, I submit that to the Lord. Hey, God, our housing situation is changing. What is our next season? And so I had planned on moving to Sacramento because my grandmother had just died and I wanted to live by my mom and my dad and my brothers, who I'm very close to. And it looked like the Lord was moving. You know, I was a vendor in a store in Sacramento. This is when I painted furniture. And my husband had a job opportunity close by. I'm like, well, the Lord's providing, like, this is so good. But as I was praying and seeking the Lord, I had this like unsettled feeling. And I'm like, why do I feel this way? Like, I didn't feel a peace about it. And so I just felt, I didn't hear the Lord's voice, but I felt in my spirit to not make that decision. So over the course of the next couple of months, I cried a lot. I prayed a lot. I questioned a lot because I'm like, if you're from the Bay Area, we're very loyal to like our soil. Like we're very Bay Area.
Faithful to the Bay.
Very loyal to our soil.
I always say it's like Northern California, Southern California, and then the Bay. Like we're just extra. We're just like, we ain't leaving.
It's 49ers and, or nothing.
Yeah. You know, and.
It almost was 49ers.
It was almost 49ers.
It was almost 49ers. Yeah.
Rich. We won't talk about that.
We won't bring that up today.
Yeah. Shout out to Brock.
I just remember praying like, God, why does it feel like, because things from God, they come with peace. Even if they're chaotic on the outside, internally you have peace. And I didn't have internal peace about it. And so I just started like going to war, like, man, God, what are you doing? You can't ask me to go to Arizona. I don't even know anybody in Arizona. I cannot leave my church, my family, my friend, like my life. And then not even like, you know, Scottsdale, Arizona, Buckeye, Arizona.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. It ain't even that. It's, you know.
The diamond of Arizona.
So how long before this was that experience you had?
The experience of kind
with
of
God.
Praying?
Yeah.
We moved here in 2017 and it was 2016.
Oh, okay.
A few months, yeah.
You know, I love that you point that out. So in John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, he talks about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and he talks about, I will give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
I will give you peace.
Yeah.
Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's so powerful because when we pray and we're looking for answers and we're confused and if we don't know what to do, I love what you said. Do I feel peace?
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So you needed to do more work.
And how do you, it don't matter the plan, the strategy, the money, what people say, it matters. God, what would you have for me? Period. Because I've been out of God's will before. I mean, like losing my mind out of God's will. So I'm not interested in getting anywhere near that. Over my own desires. I'm not interested. And so my husband, who was more of a realist at the time, right? I was more like big faith. He was more like, nah, like that, you know? And I just kept praying about it. And then we kept meeting up about it and talking about what that would look like for our family and leaving our everything that we knew. And then one day I remember he said, well, I just really feel like we need to step out in faith. I'm like, this guy's saying faith, like what, you know? And I just looked at him and I said, okay, well, we'll keep praying, you know? And then the Lord did speak to me. The Lord did speak to me in an audible voice, in a voice really? Just like, yes, just wow. Like I'm talking wow. to you. And we lived in a little tiny house. So our story is very crazy. My husband built a little tiny house. This was before tiny houses were cool. Okay. So we had a little tiny house in my in-law's backyard and it was like 100 square feet. And so we would literally like put the ladder for my kids
100?
To climb up. Yeah. I think it was 100.
Jeez.
It was like this size.
Oh my goodness.
Of this room.
Wow.
And so we would pop up the playpen for Bug, my youngest. And then we would put the ladder for my other two up there. And one was decorated princess in the loft. And it wasn't fabulous by any means. So don't imagine the ones you see on TV. It was not that. Okay. And they would go. And my husband was working construction. And everybody was gone. And I just prayed in that little tiny house. Like my life depended on it. And the Lord just spoke to me like clear as day. And I was praying. And he said, Sophia, you're so small-minded. And I remember my response literally was audible response to him. I said, no, I'm not. And that was that. He didn't say, go to Arizona, go to Buckeye. He didn't tell me what to do. He told me I was small-minded. Now me, I've always been creative, visionary. So I'm like, I think you're talking to the wrong person. But the way that he like said it to me told me everything I needed to know. And I said, we're going to go. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know anything about Arizona. I don't know what, I don't even know anything. We came without any jobs, me and my husband.
Wow.
And we came and we planted our family here. And when I got here, when I pulled up to the house, I felt this covering of peace over my life. Literally, like a like a blanket.
So you just left everything you ever knew,
mm-hmm.
and you're in a totally different place.
Yep,
it's totally foreign.
Yep,
I mean it's not big town. It's not a big city,
mm-mm.
and you just felt peace.
Immediate peace.
Wow.
I mean like a covering, like a blanket. And we walked in, and I just knew at that point, like, well, we really did it now. So Lord, I'm gonna wait for you because. I don't know what to, I don't know where to get my hair done. I don't know where, I don't literally don't know anything, you know?
Yeah.
And, what was really interesting about that is that, 10 years ago, I was a vendor in a local market selling my furniture. And, my dream at that time was to raise all of my kids myself. I didn't want to put them in daycare or any of those things. So I would take furniture that people would leave on the side of the road and I would be like, okay, that's a cool table. And I would put it on the stroller and roll it back home and I would paint it. And, cause we didn't have money because I wanted to stay home. And, so every day I would do that. I would take my son on walks and people would leave like little, you know, like little curb alerts. And I'd be like, okay, well that's kind of ugly, but I could paint it and put it on a stroller and roll it back. And people
put it on a stroller,
literally like a crazy lady, because I'm like, my house looks like a prison cell because I'm broke. But if I can make a cute little end table and cut some branches, I could make something with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, over time people would say like, hey, where did you get that? And I'd be like, oh, I painted it. Well, can you paint something for me? Or can I buy that? And I'd be like, you want to buy this? $20. Like, yeah. I didn't know.
You would value something I just created.
Yeah. Like right. I just literally got this from around the corner.
Right.
But then people would start asking me, like, can you paint my table or can you paint my chairs? And I would start making like $100 here or $50 here. And I would put that towards like my daughter's cheerleading, or I would take my kids to the movies because we didn't have income for big things, you know? And that's how Screws and Sparkles started. And so I did a market in 2014, and I had all of my vintage, my furniture and all my little vintage items, and it was like 5 a.m. I still remember it to this day. It was 5 a.m. I had all my little kids there, and my son was eating a hot dog at 5 a.m. and I was like, this is not the business, right? and I looked to the left and there was another woman with handmade clothes with her baby in the carrier.
Yeah.
And I looked and I'm like, this is a whole hot mess. Like, and nobody bought anything for me. See, that was like the main thing. Like, you put your heart and soul out on display and at a market, and you think like vendors are living their best life. Like, no, we're literally stressed out. Like, please buy something, you know?
So with that in mind, how much more confident did you feel knowing that you had the Lord's anointing on you when you were taking this huge risk? Like, were you scared? Was it terrifying to come and move here? Or did you feel confident and walk forward?
I never really feel confident, but the Lord keeps asking me to do big things.
I was like, really? Because I have seen what you've done.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's...
That's so powerful, though, that you say that, because so many people, I think, wait for that confidence mm-hmm. before they can take a step forward. And then they miss out on mm-hmm. opportunities or what the Lord would have them do because of that fear.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just takes knowing, okay, like, I know I've been asked to do this, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to go for it. Even if you don't feel confident about it.
Because you're not going to feel confident.
Yeah.
And that's a feeling. We don't submit ourselves to feelings. We submit ourselves to the Lord. So I feel angry. I feel sad. I feel frustrated. I feel low self-esteem. I feel ugly. I feel whatever it is. Okay, that's how I feel. But you have to have enough emotional intelligence to say, that's how I feel. And I'm going to feel better tomorrow if I just probably eat dinner. Because I might just be hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you just need a nap and some Chick-fil-A and you might be good. So don't make decisions off of your feelings, especially as a woman of God or as a man of God. That's where the enemy comes in and lies to us and says all the things that we can't do. And then we're like, you're right. I'm not a business. I don't have a business degree. But the Lord doesn't require that of us. He requires obedience. So I don't feel confident. I just know the Lord's with me. Like, I'm not afraid. Trust. I'm not, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not like, no matter what I come up against, like, what do I have to lose? My dream at that time was to be home with my kids. When I was at that market, I said, that was the day, 2014. I was like, God, if you ever give me the opportunity to open a store, I want to help other moms. Because we out here, it's windy, stuff's flying around. And what if there was a space where they could just set up and they could leave it there and I could help them and we could have a Lego table for their kids? And I dreamed it all up for 10 years.
Sophia, we've loved this time to talk about how you put your store together and about your faith and everything that brought you here to Buckeye. We would love to segue into a little more specifically about Screws and Sparkles, and I think we'll need a little more time for that. So we'll continue on our next episode of The Value Script with Sophia from Screws and Sparkles.
Yeah, let's do it.